In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters, on this Sunday of the Prodigal Son. It was just over 3 weeks ago at the Feast of Theophany that we heard the Gospel reading in Matthew 4:17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's what the Lord began to say after his baptism. And concerning that Gospel, Archbishop Andrew Remarenko said, "And so begins a whole academy, the great Lenten Triodion, which will reveal to us the laws of life and the laws of our heart, which we need so much." And I've always thought this is a very profound and insightful comment, you know, that Great Lent, including the Sundays leading up to it, is like a whole academy. Well, the word academy comes from the Greek word akademos, and this was actually the name of a Greek hero. He was a man who was honored because he saved Athens from destruction. And actually a beautiful olive grove was named for him, and this particular grove is where the philosopher Plato used to teach his students. Well, today our English definition of the word academy refers to a place of training or study in a special field, like, for example, an academy of fine arts or a police academy or something like that. And the word academy is also used to refer to a society or institution of distinguished scholars, artists, or scientists that aims to promote and maintain standards in a particular field, like, for example, the National Academy of Sciences. Well, to view Great Lent, then, as a whole academy is really quite remarkable and very accurate, because we could say that Great Lent provides all Christians with a place of training and study in the special field of the spiritual life. And those who practice their faith by entering into this academy become part of a society of fellow Christian strugglers who are all working on their spiritual lives together in the Holy Church. The parable of the prodigal son is one of the deepest and most comprehensive images in the Bible. Whole books have been written just about this particular parable practically. I mean, if you added everything up. It really contains the entire history of mankind. Of course, the father in the parable is a representative of an image of God. The son is an image of mankind who, through the disobedience of our ancestors Adam and Eve, fell from paradise, but with God's help is able to repent and return to the heavenly homeland. But this parable also has a very personal meaning for us, each one individually. St. John of Kronstadt points out that all of us have actually received a very rich inheritance, even though we did nothing to deserve this. By inheritance, he's referring to all of the abilities, gifts, and talents that each one of us has received. Our intellect, our will, our heart, our health, the vocation each of us has been called to, whatever material wealth each of us has been given by God's providence, our homes, cars, all our possessions, our friends and families, and so forth. And so our Heavenly Father has endowed us with the freedom to choose how we will live and how we will use all these riches that he's given to us. However, as St. John of Kronstadt goes on to say, rarely do any of us remain with his or her share under our Father's roof. Many of us, taking our share, move away from the all-good Father into a faraway country, into the sinful world, and live there dissolutely under the captivity of the passions, until finally their sheer oppression and destructiveness convince us to return to our Father's house. So the pivotal moment in this parable that really is the turning point is when the prodigal son comes to himself, as it says in the gospel. The father has permitted him to waste his gifts and be deprived of every necessity, and the son is now in a desperate state and is highly motivated to want things to change. And in this desperate state, his conscience has awakened and now reveals to him what a terrible state he's in. At the same time, with this new awareness, the prodigal son can also see a way out. He thinks of his father now for the first time in a long time, and the idea to return to his father's house, if only as a servant, occurs to him, and he starts the long journey back. And this is really a function of the conscience. You know, the Holy Father's to speak at length about this, how the conscience is kind of God's voice within us, you know, kind of goads us and kind of prods us to do the right thing. You know, we've all seen the little cartoon with the angel is on one shoulder and little devil with a pitchfork on the other shoulder, and of course the angel's trying to get us to do the right thing, and the little devils trying to get us to do something bad. And this is, I mean, even though it's kind of silly, but it is actually an image of our conscience, you know, because that's how that works, you know. So every time we're in a situation, we have to make a choice. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to go for the good or go for our own pleasure or things like this or passions? Well, St. Paisios of Mount Athos once said that there is no greater good for man than to have his conscience at peace. It is a great thing not to be censured by your conscience by thinking you could have done something more but chose not to. That's when man can have a constant inner joy and his whole life can become a celebration. It is this inner joy that provides us with spiritual strength. And he also said, when someone does not observe themselves carefully and does not dust off his conscience from time to time, then it will gradually grow rusty and insensitive. They will sin as if nothing is going on. Of course, we see this happen. You know, those who do evil in the world, you know, there was probably a time when they were a little kid that they felt bad that they did something wrong, but then they stopped worrying about it and they kept doing things wrong, and next thing you know, they're committing acts of terrorism or some kind of thing like this. So when the conscience is kind of repressed, then bad things can happen. But that's where we as Christians need to keep that clear and open. So brothers and sisters, as we continue our preparations for this coming Lenten season, let's take full advantage of this blessed time of prayer and fasting and spiritual renewal and transformation. And let's honestly reflect on our lives and identify those areas where we are weak. And let's dust off this lens of our conscience, as it were, through the sacrament of confession, so that with God's help, we too can repent of our sins and return to our Father's house and receive his warm and loving embrace. Glory be to our God.